everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Female Film Critics Panel. This is the show where once a month I gather content creators and film critics that we hear about their experience, and it's so much fun. I really enjoy getting to do this. And today I have two very special guests with me today. I have Karen Peterson here.
Hi.
And I have Selspec, the YouTuber, here. It's so exciting.
Hello.
Yes. And I'm so grateful to both of you for coming and sharing your experiences. This is always a highlight of my month. And I'd like to have a chance for both of you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your content and how you got started in reviewing films and in creating content. And so, Karen, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, how I got started is actually a very long story, but but to simplify things a little bit, I used to work for a site called Award Circuit, which oddly enough, all of my content now is owned by Variety. So that's kind of weird because Clayton Davis, who founded Award Circuit, now is the awards editor at Variety Magazine, which is amazing. Good for him, but kind of sucked for me because I lost my job. So, you know. Anyway, so I, now I'm freelancing a lot. I actually have done some writing for Variety too, but I also have a podcast, a couple of podcasts. I co-host the Citizen Dame podcast, where we talk about film and TV, basically the industry and reviews and things from a very female perspective. We've never had a man on our show, actually. We've had a few that wanted to be, but we have not done that yet. and I also co-host the Watch and Talk podcast, where we just review a movie or two every week. And that's a lot of fun as well. So that's cool. A little bit about me.
Yeah, sounds great. What about you, Selspec? How did you get started on YouTube?
Not anything totally dramatic. I made my first video back in 2009. That was actually the first year that I did what I've done every year since, which is ranking all of the animated films of a year from worst to best, and I still do that now. But back then, that was a different channel that at some point got taken down because of copyright, and then I made a new one. Because shocking, but there used to be a time where copyright was even worse. depending on how exactly you used it. Anyway, I didn't do it on any sort of regular basis. It took me so long to make one, and I not until around 2015 I started picking up making more videos throughout the year, doing major movie releases as they premiered, because I initially was mostly just doing the year-end list, and then occasionally I did some Korra videos, I did some My Little Pony videos, and then eventually the numbers just started ranking up. The algorithm was kind to me one day, and then I've been about the right area of success I think I'm comfortable with, because I'm perfectly fine being kind of in this corner where I'm doing well, but I'm not so popular that people are trying to tear me down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that for my most popular content is at Hallmarkies podcast that I do. And I feel the same way kind of a thing that, sure, I'd like to be more successful and continue to be successful. But I'm also like happy with this freelancing kind of space, like that, like a modicum of success, that enough that I can live the way that I want to live, but I'm not dealing with the horribles that often.
I think that's one of the things that is fun about doing what we do, at least to me, is that success looks different for each of us, and we kind of get to define what that is ourselves. Yeah. And I love that.
That's true. It's true. And I think that you can get kind of jaded if you're not careful about the internet. And I think everybody has the negative experiences, but when you're at when you're at a certain level, there can be really positive experiences, and like I've had with this Female Film Critics panel, and getting to know people. And that's one thing I loved about the movie Belle from last year, was that it was all about the positive side of our internet interactions and how we can literally rescue each other. And I thought that was really moving And true, I've had mostly positive experiences from this whole thing, getting to interact with people I would never meet in any other way. So Cellspex, how did you first become interested in animation?
It was kind of always my thing. I grew up during the 90s when Disney was doing its renaissance, and those were always my favorite films, and that was predominantly the only films that I saw, even when we get into the 2000s, and the 2000s was when Pixar took off. So those were always the movies that I just liked the most, and I watched live action stuff occasionally, but in strikingly lower numbers. That was just always what I was drawn to. So that's just what I decided to focus on. At the time, I know that part of my inspiration, like a lot of early critics, was other people doing the same thing. And there wasn't a whole lot of, and I knew that I was never going to, and I had a small time where I figured trying to do like the both big movies in a weekend, like some other people were doing. And I'm like, that's too exhausting. And I'm not knowledgeable quite enough in film to focus on all of them. So I'm just going to focus on the movies I'm going to watch anyway.
Mm-hmm. But I like it sometimes that you include an anime recommendation in the video that you might be reviewing a Pixar movie or something like that, that you have also some of the more smaller recommendations too.
Right. I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed being able to research what overseas movies have come out during a year and put those in my list. It's always my favorite kind of comments are usually the ones where I've recommended things that people have never heard of, and then it ends up being something they really enjoyed.
Yeah. I love when you get that opportunity too. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later with my reviews I'm proud of. But Karen, so you do the podcast with Lauren, right?
Yeah.
And how did that all happen? How did you end up working together?
Oh, man. So it's actually kind of interesting. When I was still with the Word Circuit, there was a main podcast, and then there was just kind of this push of we need something where we can talk about other topics, not just the awards season, but, you know, women in film, people of color, stuff like that. And so there were three of us. I don't know if you know Kristen Lopez. She was another one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we worked together there for a while. And so we kind of did a little trial run with this podcast that didn't really come together the way that we all wanted it to. We weren't really satisfied with it. So it just kind of sat on a shelf. We didn't really do anything with it. But eventually Kristen left Award Circuit. So did the other girl that was with us, and who I've completely lost track of now. I think she's totally out of the industry. But anyway, occasionally the three of us would talk on email or whatever and talk about, like, we really need to do a podcast, a female-centric podcast, because there weren't a lot of them in film at the time. I mean, this is going back several years ago. And it was like most podcasts that were in and about film were all men, or they might have one woman on, but there weren't really, Bechdelcast hadn't started yet. Some of the other ones, they weren't there. And so we would talk about it here and there, but it just kind of never got off the ground. And then eventually one day, I think Kristen actually had a situation with another podcast where she got really fed up, and she just emailed me and she said, "We're doing this." And I said, "Okay, great. I'm ready." And she just kind of put out a call, and a couple of other girls that we didn't really know expressed interest. And so we started it with four of us, and eventually Kristen left, and then Kim, who was one of our other co-founders, she left for other opportunities too. And so now it's just Lauren and I, and we just have a blast. We love doing it. It's so much fun to just really dive into topics that are, you know, really focused on female directors, female creators. We talk a lot about editors and producers and other jobs that women have in the industry. And going back, like, from the beginning of time, you know, we've done an episode on Alice Guy. We did one on Lois Weber and some of these, you know, founding mothers of film. And it's just been such an awesome learning experience for me, getting to really dive into that history and really seeing how influential women have been really since the beginning, but also really getting to look at where we're at now and ways things have actually gotten worse and ways they've gotten better. And yeah, so it's a lot of fun. I love it.
That's great. Yeah, we all love Kristen. She's been on this panel before. Yeah. She's great.
She is. So
that sounds really fun. We've had that too with Hallmarkies. It's the hosts. We have a lot because we cover so much content, but it's ebbed and flowed and changed, and people have come and gone, and the main determining factor has been me, I guess, through all of it. but it's been fun, again, a way for me to meet so many great people. And I'm always amazed that anybody will like give of their time to help me to talk about Hallmark movies.
That's what I love about this industry. And it's not just women. Men are wonderful and very mm-hmm. excited and eager to help too. And I love that about the film community when it's being healthy and kind. I think a lot of us are really eager to jump in and help each other out, partly because we like to hear ourselves talk, but also it's just fun to talk about what we love. And that's what makes it so great.
Are you a fan of Rachel's Reviews? Do you look forward to Family Movie Night, Female Film Critics Panels, or the Talking Disney podcast? If so, please consider supporting the podcast by becoming a patron. As a patron, you get to access monthly events such as the watch-alongs and Q&As, where you get to talk to stars and find out the behind the scenes of the movie making industry. And you can pick what I review for Family Movie Night or even become a guest on the podcast. Podcasts and YouTube channels are expensive, and I really, really could use your help. I would so appreciate it. You also get to be a member of the Facebook group where we talk about all the films that we're seeing, and we have so much fun. Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies and select one of the Rachel's fan tiers. That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
Well, the question that kind of leads into the question that I want to ask for both of you is, why do you think diversity in film criticism matters? There's some people who would say, oh, well, a review is a review. Why does it matter, you know, who's writing or giving the review? Selspec, what do you think about that?
Well, it's always the way that your identity and the way that you grew up is always going to affect your worldview, and different worldviews is going to affect the way that you interact with art. And in general, we even amongst and there's so many different perspectives that historically criticism just hasn't paid attention to because they were from demographics that they either weren't aiming at or they didn't consider financially viable, or they just didn't want to know what they thought. But there is so much value that I've learned from being able to hear so many different voices in the way that they've enjoyed movies that I initially thought were trash, or how other people didn't like movies that I thought were brilliant. Everybody's background and their perspective and the way they were raised affects their viewpoint. And it's genuinely helps all of us to understand people in general, the more opinions we get to hear when we're actually listening to them and not just being sensitive about somebody disagreeing with you, because it implicitly makes you think that if this person disagrees with me, then one of us has to be wrong. But that's not how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think, Karen, about that?
Oh, I think that the more the better, you know, like it's interesting because I've seen people get really upset about new opportunities being created for very, you know, diverse voices as if that's taking opportunities away from someone else. But I think the more opinions, I love that Rotten Tomatoes has really expanded and that there's so many people on there now, because, you know, and I wish that it was easier to disaggregate, you know, opinions and kind of see where different groups lie and things, because I love, you know, if I see a film that's, you know, like an Asian filmmaker or something like that, I want to know what people in the Asian community think about it, because that'll help me not necessarily change my opinion, but it'll help me understand the film better. Some of the things that we talk about too, like there have been so many films that I love and then I see, oh, a lot of critics don't like this. And then I start looking at, well, who is saying bad things about it? And that tells me a lot about maybe why I differ from what some of my colleagues think. And a lot of it does have to do with different mm-hmm. demographics, culture, that kind of thing. And so I think diversity is important for a lot of reasons. But I think really what it comes down to, the biggest one, is that it just really helps us see how we can all view the exact same piece of art through very, very different lenses. And that's actually a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. And I think especially if they're making content for these demographics, there needs to be critics out there saying, this is good, this is bad. And not that every critic's going to think the same thing, like not all women are going to think the same thing. But as somebody, I spend my life in critiquing films that are in general made for women with the Hallmarkies. And they need to be good. There needs to be somebody there saying, but you're doing a good job or you're not doing a good job. Otherwise, it just gets out of control. And it's just these, you know, terrible films.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important that if we are going to have films made for, you know, for an LGBTQ audience, there needs to be LGBTQ critics saying, mm-hmm. nope, that's not good. And so, I think that especially, and we need the voices for everything, but especially I think those like targeted projects.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, and like, you know, I love Kathryn Bigelow. I think she's a fantastic director, but I'm so tired of people coming and saying like, oh yeah, I love female directed movies. I love Kathryn Bigelow. And it's like, okay, I'm glad you do. She's awesome. Have you seen anything by Gina Prince Bythewood? Cause she's amazing too. You know, like, let's expand this, you know? And
yeah.
And I think that's where having those diverse voices and having lots of people seeing and really writing about lots of different types of projects help other directors and actors and things that people might not be aware of. It helps us find those artists.
Mm-hmm. Well, Suspects, I'm curious to you, what do you say to people who just won't give something like anime a shot? Or do you try to convince them?
I would first say, I get your ambivalence. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of aspects of anime do get negative reputations, and occasionally there's reasons for that. But the, of course, biggest thing is that about anime is that they don't believe that animation should be limited to one particular genre, or that, mm-hmm. or just children. So they have whatever genre you like, there's an anime for that. Why people don't want to give it a chance, whether they don't like the art style because they think that that they feel that some of them have gotten too raunchy. And I was like, those, and and you know what? I get it. But at the same time, there's literally millions. And if we narrow down what kind of things you're looking for, we could find something that you really like. And I'm glad that a lot more attention. And there's a part of me that is glad that anime has gotten mainstream and a lot more people are getting into it. But they're also only getting to know the really big stuff. And there's a whole bunch of undercurrent stuff that admittedly is kind of hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they think, oh, I don't like anime, they think of Digimon, Pokemon,
right.
That kind of anime that they've seen on maybe Saturday mornings, they've seen on television. And it's really so much more diverse than that. I mean, everything from like Akira to Studio Ghibli to Makoto Shinkai. I mean, there is, I think, felt like Your Name is such a great building block, is a first gateway into anime. There's just lots of variety. People, Sailor Moon. I think that there's a lot more than people realize.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Like you're
right,
saying.
Like, and if I've already gotten, like, already I'll tell that there was a list recently that I saw. It's like anime for people who don't like anime. And like one of the top ones that I would recommend to people, there was a recent series called Odd Taxi that came out, and it is brilliant. It is a 12 episode series that's filled with anthropomorphic animals, and it visually doesn't look like anime, and you might even think that it's a kid show the first time you see it, but it's actually a murder mystery with very kitschy dialogue. It's absolutely brilliant. Another thing I can tell you sometimes with anime is that there's a lot of it that's great, but when it comes to condensed series, because so much anime is basically animators just adapting a manga that's already getting popular, and that's like 100 chapters in, it's either going to give you only a small taste of that story by only giving you 12 episodes, or they're going to make full hundreds of episodes that will last years, but very rarely we'll have these small condensed series that are satisfying. And Odd Taxi is one of those. It's a set story at 12 episodes, and it's great, and it has a satisfying ending, and that is rare.
I haven't heard of that one, so that's exciting. Rare.
Yeah, it's a lesser known one. It got really big in the anime community last year. Mm-hmm. It's great. I recommend it a lot.
I also think a good gateway is My Hero Academia. I feel like anybody that likes Marvel movies or those, you know, those kind of superhero movies will like that show movies.
My Hero is great, has been great, especially for superhero people. Mm-hmm. Especially because that's a nice one because it focuses on superheroes. There's a lot of deconstructionist superhero stuff recently. That one is another one that kind of looks at it like a job and the way that it affects society. So that's been a nice turn.
Yeah. So Kieran, are a big Tom Cruise fan, it seems like, from your letterbox.
I am.
What is it that you especially like about Tom Cruise films?
I mean, watch all of them. They're all amazing. Like, he's made 45, 46 movies, and there's probably only two or three that I would say are actively bad movies. Actually, I have a soft spot for The Mummy.
I don't know. I mean, people see, I'm like you are with Rock of Ages, because I am a softie for a musical. There are very few musicals that I don't like. It's not like great, but I don't know. It's kind of fun.
That's the thing. It's not a good movie, but it's not bad because of him. He is definitely not the weak link in that cast, but... And that's just it. Like, there's only one movie he's ever made where I watch it and I think he did not care about this movie at all. This is not a good performance. And that is Jack Reacher 2. But
okay. I haven't seen that one.
It's funny because this love affair started when I was 9 years old, which sounds super creepy, I realize. but he didn't know about it, so it's fine. My dad took me to see Top Gun when I was a kid, and it was just, it was love at first sight. This is the on-screen persona of Tom Cruise. I'm not talking about who he is in real life. That's fine. But he just has that magnetism, and I'm so happy that people rediscovered it with Top Gun Maverick. It's been really interesting to hear people say things that I've been saying for 20 years, and I'm just kind of rediscovering that he's this really dynamic actor who is completely passionate about the experience that viewers are going to have watching his movies. And that's why I love him. That's why I think he's such a great movie star.
I feel like he's one of sort of the last movie stars.
Yeah.
I guess The Rock and him is kind of who I think of as like a but movie even, star.
Yeah. Like, and part of the reason that I picked Tom Cruise over anybody else is because it's like, and this is no disrespect to Mr. Johnson, but, you know, it's like you watch his movies and he always has to be like the one with the last laugh. He always has to be, you know, he can't be knocked down. He can't ever look like he's about to lose. Like Tom Cruise, all of his movies, he's not afraid to look weak. He's not afraid to look like he's going to lose. He's not afraid to, you know, anything. And it just really does make it a more, a richer experience. That's why I'm never disappointed with his movies, except for Jack Reacher 2.
Except for Jack Reacher 2. Yeah, I think Night and Day, that's the underrated one.
Yes, totally.
It's so
totally
fun.
Underrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like such a good rom-com.
Yes, Cameron Diaz. I love her so much, and they are so great together.
As long as she's not in Annie. That is a musical I did like.
Fair enough. Very fair.
It was very bad. I couldn't believe that the Tomorrow song, I didn't even realize that she had sung it. I'm like, that's like such an iconic song. And it, the way they staged it and everything, I didn't even realize. I was like, oh, I got to rewind it.
Yeah. But, yeah, that one was not good.
Oh, yeah. But I want to ask both of you, what's the hardest part about being a critic / YouTuber? What do you think, Suspect?
I guess it kind of depends on how you approach of I guess some of it has to do with your workflow of like how much do you have to get done. Mm-hmm. At least for me, because another part of it is video making. A lot of it is just being self-motivated to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Has honestly been my biggest thing. Recently that the issue I'm running into is that because a lot of my success has gone specifically from mainstream animation, and I've gotten so bored talking about that. And so I've been trying to branch out to talk about slightly more things other than that.
Well, I appreciate that, because I hear about projects and shows and movies from YouTubers like yourself, even though I'm pretty in the animation scene many times. Because especially anime, there's so many anime projects that it's hard to know which ones are worth your time and which ones aren't.
Right.
So I appreciate that.
I know. That's not the stuff. Like every once in a while, I do the stuff where I try to cover multiple non-movie things that happen in a year. Sometimes those videos don't get attention. And so I also wonder if that's where I should be spending my energy, even though it's kind of that's the other thing is that do I work on videos that I kind of really want to work on that might not get attention, or do I do the stuff that gets attention even if I'm tired of writing about it?
Well, I mean, you're the reason that I watched your name. You promoted it early on.
Oh yeah, I got it in one of the earliest views, and I put it on the 2016 list before it was even on theaters here.
Yeah.
So,
and then that became my. I feel like every year I have sort of my baby that is the independent film or smaller film that people don't know about that I really push on people, and that was certainly. I don't know how many people I got to watch your name. But I loved the movie. I thought it was so great. One of my all-time faves.
Got some attention.
Yes.
I hear that.
Yeah. what do you think, Karen? What's the hardest thing about being a podcaster / writer, critic?
You know, honestly, it's when I have a dissenting opinion, whether it's a movie that I love that everybody hates or vice versa, which is more often I dislike something that a lot of people love. And it's having the confidence in myself and in my opinions to just stand by it and to be willing to not go with the flow just because sometimes that's easier. And honestly, I've been subjected to some not kind things as a result of it occasionally, but you know, it's I feel like when I get angry comments and responses, it actually makes me stronger, because I just kind of say, no, I stand by this, and it really helps me like build my arguments and develop them a little bit more. Not that I'm asking for negative feedback, but I think it definitely has helped me, you know, get thicker skin, which is probably a good thing. But yeah, I think that's the hardest part is just being confident enough in myself, in my opinion, and in my ability to express my opinion. And to just stand by it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was telling a suspect off air that, you know, I had this experience in 2019 where I didn't like Shazam and the internet pounced on me pretty hard. And I thought that I had thick skin. I'd been blogging for years. I had been putting, you know, myself out there. I thought that I was pretty strong. But it was hard. It was definitely an intense experience. There was actually a mass shooting threat that came in that we had to notify Warner Brothers, and it was just like, oh my gosh.
Wow. But
and it was the weekend that happened was when the Dumbo remake came out. And I think like the only person that's emotionally tied to Dumbo because it was just like I know it's not that great of a movie, but I just needed like a comforting kind of movie on that day. And that's the one I got. And so,
hey, you know, sometimes that's all it takes. That's right. But yeah, for me, I think one of the hardest ones, it was so odd because I didn't even dislike the movie, but it was some things that I said about Call Me By Your Name. I got attacked for having some issues with, you know, to do with the content of that movie. And I even acknowledged that it was a good movie. And there were a lot of things I liked about it, but I got called all kinds of very hateful things because of it.
The awards circuit can be intense.
Yes. It really can. A little bit. Do not say anything negative about Gaga or Kristen Stewart ever. Ever.
Yeah, my recent Persuasion review, I learned that, okay, Dakota Johnson fans are intense. I wanted to like it. I really did.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarkie in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies merch store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anna Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
Better to say nothing.
Yeah. Well,
or at least easier.
After the Shazam review, I did hold off and I didn't review Joker. I didn't review Birds of Prey because I was just like, it's not even my niche. You know, I cover animation and rom-coms and Christmas movies. So it's not like I have to do it. But
I did review Joker and I got tons of negative crap for that one. And you know what? That one actually, I was very entertained by it. I was a little mad when they started negatively reviewing my podcast just because they didn't like my written review.
Mm-hmm.
That was stupid.
I feel like Joker was a no-win scenario for all critics.
Totally.
If you liked it,
totally.
If you didn't like it, you got hate.
Yep, exactly.
Well, let's talk about unpopular opinions then. And I had one recently because I love period pieces. I love Jane Austen. And so, I mean, it wasn't really an unpopular opinion with Persuasion. I was really hoping I would like it, and then it disappointed me. But I also didn't like Mr. Malcolm's List that came out. And I didn't like the book, so I probably shouldn't have expected to like the movie, but I love the cast, and it just seems like something I should love, Mr. Malcolm's List. But I thought the conflict was so dumb, and I thought they had no chemistry. I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it. And that was a bummer for me. I really wanted to like it. Mm. And sometimes, you know, you just got it. You got to be real. And luckily there's not the Jane Austen fans or the period piece fans are pretty mild, pretty tame.
Usually. Yeah.
And I think that's why I like covering Hallmark movies too, because they're usually pretty nice. I kind of joke that the worst you'll get from a Hallmark fan is maybe an angry montage, an angry collage. I think that's about it. But Selspik, what about you? What's an unpopular opinion that you've had an experience with?
I've definitely had videos where the comments have seemed to be more argumentative than they tend to usually. I'm lucky that there's never been anything quite so bad, at least as far as I'm aware of, where I've been excessively targeted, and I consider myself to be very lucky in that area. But I actually posted on my community, like, what are some takes I've had that you just flat out disagree with? Mm-hmm. And like the two biggest things that I thought way more people, because historically it has been people complaining about me not loving Adam Sandler's Dracula from the Hotel Transylvania series.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm as a dad character specifically, not particularly as a comic character, because I do think he's funny. I have a thing with those kinds of overprotective dad characters, and I just can't. But when I looked at the reception to that prompt, the majority of stuff that came back was that on my 2010 list, that Megamind was too low and that I was way too nice to Wreck-It Ralph 2.
They're pulling back 2010.
Wow. Right.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, I'm honestly the older videos prior to 2013, I've been re-releasing those lists. Because the ones prior to that were like really old and really badly done, so I've been re-releasing them. I re-released the 2010 list last year, so it was more recent. And a lot of people and a lot of people got really fixated on Megamind.
Now you weren't, I think, that high on Raya. Did the Disney people come after you?
Not particularly. My Raya review was pretty neutral.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to I forget how long it took me to get a review out for that. It was at least 3 weeks. And so for that one, I did get very on, like a lot of people did, its ending message, which I thought was complicated and not particularly well done, but a lot of people felt that way. Mm-hmm. Raya's a lot of the mess around Raya largely came from fixating on people who called it an Avatar ripoff.
Oh, right.
I did make a video at some point addressing that in at least some capacity. And in the meantime, I tried to both give it to do while also being honest about how I felt about how it worked. Mm-hmm. So that video honestly didn't get that controversy for me. Particularly, I've gotten way harsher on things. Like, for whatever reason, me liking Incredibles 2 was also probably one that more people disagreed with. I got both people who thought I was too nice in the movie in general, but also too hard on Mr. Incredible just doing the reverse career house dad bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Because the Pixar fans, I wasn't a big fan of Turning Red. That was an unpopular opinion I had this year.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't love the metaphor. I didn't think it worked very well. I thought it was kind of clunky. And I don't know. I just thought the mom was over the top and too much. I didn't love it. But the Pixar fans can be intense.
Really, I like Turning Red, but
yeah. Karen, what about you? What's the unpopular opinion that you've had?
Oh man, I have many of them apparently, but one recently that I'm still kind of scratching my head over was actually The Last Duel.
Oh, which, yeah, I saw that in your Letterboxd.
Yeah. It was really interesting because I hated that movie. In fact, I wanted to leave while I was watching it, but I was just like, no, I am a professional. I'm not like certain other people who review movies without finishing them. So,
yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm gonna see it through, even though this feels like torture. And it was very interesting because the feedback that I got was from a lot of people, and a lot of the conversations that I ended up finding myself in, especially on Twitter, which can be amazing and awful, sometimes at the same time and about the same thing. So weird. But yeah, it so much of what people took issue with was not even disagreeing about what the movie is. It was just like, they just didn't have a problem with certain things that I had a big problem with, like showing the attack multiple times. And, yeah. And it was just like, why are you upset at me for not wanting to watch that happen, especially more than once, but at yeah. all, you know, it's just, I think that was what was so surprising mm-hmm. was that people took issue with not what I was necessarily saying about the quality of the movie, but just about certain things that I just didn't personally feel comfortable watching.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had the same feeling about the movie. So let's talk about a review that we're proud of, that we, or content that we created that we're proud of. Every year, like I said, I kind of have my baby movie that I love that's a smaller film that I really try to push on people and get people to see it. I've had a lot this year, actually. I feel like this year's been a good year for movies in general.
Yeah.
But I loved a little movie called Hit the Road that's an Iranian film. And it's about this family that's escaping into Turkey, I think it is. Anyway, and it showed a side of Iran that I have never seen before. The only movies I've ever seen in Iran have been in the city. So this showed the countryside, and this family felt so real and genuine. And the movie can actually be quite hilarious, but it's also tense. I just thought it was a masterpiece. I also just recently loved Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. It's so good. I almost gave it a perfect score in my review. I thought it was charming and sweet and warm-hearted, and I just absolutely loved it. I also loved Apollo 10 and a Half, Space Age Childhood this year. I thought it's the best animated film that Richard Linklater's ever made. It was so nostalgic for me, even though I didn't grow up then. It made you think about your own memories that were similar to his memories, but mine, it would be in the 80s, and his was the characters was in the 60s. I loved that. I loved Phantom of the Open, which is just another charming underdog sports movie about the worst golfer ever, the British Open. It was so good. And then I also loved an anime called Popel of Chimney Town. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous and a really good story, and something that flew under the radar. So those sort of smaller films, those reviews, when I can get them out there and hopefully expose a few of my friends to these films, it's so satisfying. So that's what I thought of for this month. But what about you, Karen? What's something you're proud of, a review?
Oh, man. I feel like this year I have just kind of, I don't know what's happened. I have been watching a lot of movies, but I feel like I haven't done as much work as I do in years past. But probably the one that I'm the most proud of right now is, just to bring it back to Tom Cruise, it's what I wrote about Top Gun Maverick, and also what I said about it on my other podcast. I was so in love with everything about it, not just Tom Cruise or his performance or whatever, but the way he brings this cast together. And just, I was in Hall H at Comic-Con, which is going on right now, when they revealed the first trailer, and I was immediately drawn in by the cinematography. I'd always been a little skeptical of this movie, not just that it would ever see the light of day, but even that it would possibly be, you know, anywhere decent. And when I saw that cinematography, I just immediately was like, this is going to be something really, really special. And it was. And obviously, everybody's seen it. It's like one of the highest grossing movies of the year, highest grossing movie of Tom Cruise's career, but deservedly so, because it's really an incredible experience and such a gift that we got to see on screen. So that was definitely a big one for me.
Yeah, I've seen it three times.
Yeah, me including, too. Yeah,
including at the drive-in, which was nice. It's like a perfect drive-in movie.
Oh, how fun!
You want to go to the drive-in and see a movie that is not like super dialogue heavy. And yeah, so it's just like the perfect choice. And the drive-in in here in Salt Lake is pretty close to the airport. So it's like a really good place to see the movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
I used to live in Utah, actually. I went to the Weber State. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. And so we used to go to the drive-in in Riverdale all the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. So, I didn't know that.
You know. Yep. Fun facts about me.
So, Salzburg, what about you? What's a review or something you made that you're really proud of?
It's hard to say. Certainly I don't know about recently. I feel like this year I've been a little sluggish. I've been going through some stuff that's made it harder for me to work. And sometimes I may feel bad the way that it affects how I work. But I think everyone's got that thing where they have moments where they feel like, oh, I'm so terrible at what I do. I'm so ashamed. This is the worst thing I've ever made. And then you go back and you look at your old stuff and go, oh, this is actually okay. I'm adequate. And I think just one thing that I'm really, I guess one video that I made last year that I was really happy that got a positive return was when I reviewed Soul. I really went into, because in that case, I didn't do a traditional review. I had extended thoughts about the topic they covered and particularly the way that people received it. And so I just went into this completely tangent diatribe that was different from necessarily reviewing the film. And that video got a lot of positive response from what I talked about. And I was really pleased to see that it struck a note with people. And I was very proud of that. So every once in a while, it's been nice when I do something off that I don't usually do, and it just works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always happy when that happens.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much to both of you for coming on and talking about your experiences. I really appreciate it. It's been great. Great to get to know you both better. And why don't you both share how people can find your content? What about you, Karen?
The easiest way to find me is on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. I'm at Karen M. Peterson, and I try to do a good job of linking my work there. I'm not always successful, but you can find my link tree, which does have my, you know, in my bio, and it does have links to my work at Variety, at Citizen Dame, and different places. So, yeah.
Great. What about you, Suspect?
Well, I am on YouTube, so I'm fairly Googleable. Just type in my name pretty much anywhere. Cellspex, and I will show up in some way.
Yeah. And how did you come up with your name?
I'm
just curious. Was it just because animation sells?
Partially. No, I don't forget how it evolved. At one point, my original name was Celluloid Seamstress. Oh, and then I just realized that was way too long and semi-pretentious. And at some point I shortened it. I know that at one point I was just trying to make the name smaller. And so at one point it shortened to Cell Seam. And then at some point I thought of Celluloid Speculations. And so that shortened to Cell Specs.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also, make sure you check out the Hallmarkies podcast. Lots of fun stuff going on over there. And you can find my writing as well at Rotoscopers, the animation website. So take a look at that. And thanks again to both of you. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can have you on again one of these days. So Thanks so much.
Thank you. This has been so much fun.
Yeah. Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Bye, everyone.